Let's just pray. Father, once again, thank you for a glorious moment where we can experience you speaking into our lives, words of life that impart to us, that transforms us, that captures us, that it's in a moment where you, the creator of all, communicate to us in a family setting as you share with us from your heart. So thank you again, for Jesus, for you opening up the way, and also for what you have done and that enabling us to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can know the thoughts, what's on your mind, what's on your heart for each and every one. So today, by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, thank you as you share, you build, you encourage, you give life to each and every one, that we may just know this is a way to walk in. Today I'm asking that the reality of you being the way, the truth, and the life will be so evident in us this morning, and just listening and responding and just walking with you throughout this week. And Father, this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Last time we began to look in about the parable of the mustard seed. And in that parable of the mustard seed, we began to really see the authority of faith and the ability to be able to speak faith, and that mulberry tree had to submit. And this is something that you and I are going to be more and more becoming very aware of, learning how to walk in faith and enabling to speak with that assurance that what we say, because we heard God and we're speaking what God has shared to us, what we say is going to have an incredible impact. Things have to obey the authority of Jesus that is now coming through your mouth, my mouth. Okay, and that was what we were looking at last time. Now, in the continuation of that, lately I've become very aware of the mind, of our mind in the context of faith, and whether our mind is working with faith or whether our mind is working against faith. And that's what I believe this morning is very much what's on our Father's heart, to help us to be able to realize whether our mind is working with faith or really against faith. And this is such an important part in the journey of faith. And so I want to start off with reading in Luke chapter 18. And you can't see it, unfortunately, on the screen, not on my screen anyway. I'm not sure if you can. But in Luke 18, Jesus speaks once again about the necessity of praying and never giving up. So that persistent prayer that we were looking at a few Sundays back, and he gave that illustration of this widow that kept on praying. And then we got to the place, or he carries on and he's speaking and he's interacting with people. And then he comes to the place where he's walking through the town as he's approaching Jericho. This is Luke 18 and verse 35 onwards. And as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. And Jesus said to him, "Receive." Now notice this now. "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So first of all, we see here, just touching a few things that we've already gone through, here where this blind man is sitting in the town. He's hearing the crowd. He's hearing the buzz what's taking place. He asks them what's happening, and the crowds, and they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But notice here that he begins to call out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So now he's responding. He's responding to what he's hearing. But notice also those who led. It's interesting how the leaders are rebuking this poor guy. You know, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And guys, sometimes your faith may be something so ridiculous for anybody else. Persevere. Okay. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus heard that voice of faith. Jesus recognizes faith. Jesus knows faith. He identifies when faith is coming out of a person. This blind man is persisting. He believes that Jesus is the answer. He's after Jesus. He needs Jesus to stop. He knows that Jesus is going to help him. And so Jesus then comes and he says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And then he replies, Lord, I want to see. But this is what really touched me, because normally we would say, well, be healed in the name of Jesus. But this time Jesus does something differently. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. You see, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received. So Jesus spoke and he said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Faith now enables a person to receive what Jesus has spoken. And this is where the mind can be for us, working with faith, or it can be working against faith. And this is why the receiving is such an important part in really beginning to experience the result of faith, to see the breakthroughs in our lives in according to what our Lord Jesus has spoken about in his word and in by the Spirit in your quiet times and throughout your life. And so the receiving is a big part of that. And I think for a lot of people, the receiving is the hardest part because of the mind, because of religion, because of so many things, of past experience, of believing God and God didn't come through, and all of those things, and just misconceptions and not understanding the things of God. So often we think we understand God, but in the way God deals with us, but we don't, because God's way is beyond our way, and that's why we get disappointed so often, because we don't see the picture from his perspective. And so he goes on and he says, immediately he received his sight and began to follow Jesus. Now, a well-known parable that really unlocks this, and that is in Luke 8, and that's the parable of the sower. I'm not going to go into this too much because we've gone through it many times. But Jesus gives this parable of the sower, and he says over there, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Very important, because he's speaking about faith comes from hearing God. He's speaking about faith that God gives to us as we hear the Holy Spirit share. Remember, we looked at in the other day where the Holy Spirit goes to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit then, Jesus shares with the Holy Spirit what he would like to share with you and I. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. And that's where the realm of the communication really takes place, is in our spirit man. And we start to live from our spirit man outwards. And so he's speaking about the kingdom, the knowledge, the secrets of the kingdom of God. This is revelation that the Holy Spirit shares that comes from the mind of Christ, the very mind of our Heavenly Father. This is what the Holy Spirit is sharing with the disciples. Yeah, Jesus is sharing with the disciples here, but today it's the Holy Spirit that shares with us over there. Though seeing it, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. So once again, the mind is a big part that's being playing up, that comes into play over here. And then Jesus begins to explain the parable, and he says, the seed is the word of God. And those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. So here we see that they received, they heard, it was sown into their heart, but there was no understanding. Okay? So their mind had a big part to play in whether they're going to now work with, whether they're going to receive the fruit of what Jesus was teaching, or whether they will hear but never live in the reality of the promise of God or what Jesus was teaching. Their mind plays a big part over here. Okay, remember, Satan has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. And that's why we've got to become conscious of whether our mind is working with faith or whether our mind is working against our faith. And then he goes on and he speaks and he says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive. Once again, you see, they receive the word with joy and they hear it, but they have no root. And that's the intimacy's part of it. That's being, keep on renewing the mind and letting that word become established in one's own heart. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And we know that reality. We all live in this so often, so it's not unknown to us, this stuff. And so when we hear the word of God, we get excited, but our mind gets into play. We're not established in our intimate walk with God, and our mind gets into play, and quickly our mind thinks of all the problems and so forth. And so that word never bears fruit in our lives. The promises, we receive the promises. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, the promises of God we receive by faith. And everything that you and I in the kingdom of God we receive is going to be by faith. And that's why faith is such a big part of our journey. And then he carries on and he speaks over here, the seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevering produce a crop. And so we know this reality, and this is where you and I are at the place right now where God has been sharing a lot to us. Many are experiencing the breakthroughs, are full of hope. There's a lot of understanding of how to stay in grace, how to walk in grace, all what the Spirit of God has been sharing with us over many, many weeks, many months now. And it's all coming together now. There's so many things as we walk in life that the Holy Spirit is reminding us of what He has been speaking to us. And all the time now, we're having to be able to stop for a moment and ask ourselves the question, are my thoughts working with faith, or are my thoughts working against what God has spoken over the past few months? And so the Holy Spirit's helping us to become conscious of the way we think in our day-to-day walk. Okay, and so when we look at this, I want to go to a scripture over here, and that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And again, it's a well-known, but it helps us understand the battle. When Paul is speaking, and we're not talking about thoughts on what to wear, thoughts on what to eat, etc. We're speaking in the context of the kingdom of God. We're speaking about what God has spoken, the promises of God, the word of God, and the thoughts that go around that, how we live as we are led by the Holy Spirit. So that's the thinking that we're speaking about over here. All of us think about how to drive, or not even think about how to drive anymore, it's such habit, but we're not speaking about those thoughts, okay, in today's context. But Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 10, and he says over there, I beg you, that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think they live by the think that we live by the standards of this world. And straight away here, as we're beginning to hear the Spirit speak to us, faith comes in here. We have to realize that we do not live by the standard of this world. Okay? Remember what Jesus spoke when he was praying, and he was praying to the Father, and he said to the Father in John 17, and he's praying for the disciples, and he says, "Father, protect him by the name you have given me." The name, you see, the name of Jesus is very, it's when we speak about a hedge, when we speak about a covering, when you speak about these things, sometime we will get there. But the name of Jesus is a very powerful reality of being clothed, being protected. And so Jesus is asking the Father in the name you've given, protect them. And he says, from the evil one, because although they're in the world, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. And that is what we have to continually remember as we walk in this journey of faith, that we walk with God. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So everything about the promises of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, everything is in that reality of not us not being in this world, but in the kingdom of God. And all of that is to enable you and I to be able to function in this world. Okay? But it's a faith. We receive everything by faith. And we walk in faith. And as we walk in faith, we remain in the reality of God's grace. And so this is what Paul is speaking about over here. Let me just get a scripture there. Unfortunately, I lost all the scriptures when I had to restart in it, but it's not showing there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul is speaking about the wisdom of God. Again, he speaks and he speaks over there concerning the wisdom of God. He says over there about knowing the mind of God, and he says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." And this is why our mind plays such a big role in whether our mind is working with faith or our mind is working against faith. Because we are practiced, we've lived in the spirit of this world. In other words, it's the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of the unbeliever. It's the solutions of the unbeliever. And it's really living in that over there. And that's our default. Okay. But Paul's writing, we don't belong. We don't fight war. We're not involved in the Great Commission using the methods of the world. No. We use the methods of the kingdom. We use the wisdom of the kingdom. We use the ways of the kingdom. And that is by the Holy Spirit. And that is why Paul carries on and he says over there that the world has their own mind, but we have the mind of Christ. See, and that's why the mind of Christ will always work with faith. Okay. And the mind that our own mind will always work, a mind that is not renewed, a mind that is not embracing what God has said, will work against the promises of God. And he's making us aware of our mindset. And so we see that there when Paul speaks. And so back into that Second Corinthians portion over there, he says over there, some people think that we live by the standards of this world. No, although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not with the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension. This is the mind area now that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is that. And that verse 6, you know, there's now folk that's going to now take their thoughts captive. They're going to make it obedient unto Jesus and walk with there. And Paul says, those that are not, then he's going to be doing something else. And we don't know what that something else will be doing to punish every act of disobedience. We don't have any insight there. Some folk, theologians, commentators say it could refer to when Paul handed the people over to Satan. It could be that kind of concept, but I don't know. But anyway, what we do know is that Paul writes in Ephesians 6 that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principality that's a demonic realm, that's against the spiritual rulers. And then he's given us the armor of God. And these weapons is what he's speaking about, has the divine power to demolish, has divine power. And that's the weapons that you and I use as we walk. Prayer is a divine weapon from God. It's a divine power. The word of God has the divine power. Faith has divine power. Grace has divine power. Truth has divine power. Love of God has divine power. Everything from God's perspective, it has divine power because it's of God. The armor is Christ himself, and we are clothed with Christ Jesus. And all of that, Christ is the victorious one. So as we live in this world, but not of this world, as we deal with our communities, as we deal with life situations, all the time, the Spirit of God will share from Jesus and from the Father's heart what's the answer, what's the solution, what's taking place, and we receive that by faith. And that is why so much now, it's like Jesus is saying to us, what do we want? What can I do for you concerning your family, concerning your place, concerning your community, concerning your nation? Okay? And that Holy Spirit will share what Jesus has got. You're connected with your heart. But now as Jesus communicates the answer, what he's going to be doing, it's important for you and I to be able to receive and walk in that faith, that persistent faith, and not giving up. And that's where the persevering comes in, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he has promised. And so the thoughts that come to our mind now as we go on, and I was surprised actually as I become very conscious of my way of thinking, I've been surprised at how many of my thoughts are thoughts that work against faith. And so all the time, as my thoughts come in, I've got to take them captive and not let them be established in my heart, because once they're established, I live according to that. So if those thoughts are saying that to me and it's contrary to the faith, what God has spoken, I will start speaking, I will start having the emotions of that, I will start living like that. And that's not the abundant life. Remember, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So the words that Jesus speak will always bring life, the way, and the truth. And that's what you and I are wanting to be able to live in that reality over there. And so he says over there, although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish. See, so that's our will. We take the thoughts captive. There are some songs that will say, God, renew our mind. We still got our responsibility to take every thought captive. We still got our responsibility to let our minds come in line with truth. And as our minds come in line with truth, the Holy Spirit is doing the transformation. But God's not going to change our attitudes. It's our will. It's our response. When we receive, that's an act of faith to receive what the Holy Spirit has spoken. So receiving is a faith action. That's part of the believing. And we have that over there. And so he carries on and he just, I think for now, The Holy Spirit is really wanting us to become very conscious, as I said, of the way we're thinking. There's a grace being released to be able to make us aware of our thoughts. There's also a grace being released by God to enable us to be able to take every captive thought and then to now take it and make it obedient to Jesus. The Holy Spirit goes to Jesus, as we saw there in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit goes to Jesus, receives from Jesus, and speaks to you and I. And so as he speaks, there's a battle of the mind. We can now receive and cooperate with that faith, or we can, our mind can get in the way. The spirit of the world, the worldly wisdom, past experience can get in the way, and that's going to fight that. We won't be able to receive that promise. And that's why so often we don't walk in the promise of God, because simply of the mind, the battle of the mind that's rejecting. Because remember, the good news is good news, and just our mind so often rejects the good news of God. It's just too good to be true. And that, but a key to be able to have the victory of the mind is to know that the old Adam, you and I, the old Adam who we used to be, the old man, has died with Christ Jesus. That includes our mind. That includes our mind being taken captive by the enemy. That includes our mind being captured by religion or by pain or by experience and all the stuff that keeps our mind captured. You see? And so when we disappropriate and we begin to realize, but Jesus, thank you that when I died with you, that includes everything about me as the old Adam. Now I'm a new creation in you. The old has gone. That includes the mind. That includes the power of sin that controlled the mind. There's no longer the power of sin that controls the way we think. That's why we've got a choice now. Now we can choose to think life or choose to think, or can put a death again. And all of that goes with the old way of thinking over there. We have the freedom to choose now. That is why you and I are able to take every thought captive now and make it obedient. Before, the carnal man, the unsaved person, cannot take the thoughts captive, because it has to have the reality of being a new creation in Christ Jesus, because what Christ has done in dealing with the power of sin in the mind, in the way we think in that. And so when we simply appropriate and we reckon, Jesus, thank you that in your death, my mind was also crucified. My old way of thinking was also crucified. And I want to thank you in your resurrection. I want to thank you now that I participate in your life, in the new way of living. And that is why you and I now have our mind set in what the Spirit of God desires. Okay, and no longer have our mind controlled by what the old nature desires. That's the difference now. That's the power that Christ has made available for you and I to be able to take every thought captive and to be able to receive the promises of God and to be able to walk in the promises of God because of what he has done. It's a simple receiving by faith in what Jesus has done, and renewing our minds to that fact, accepting what he has done for us, receiving what he has done in his death and resurrection. And now that, as we by faith receive it, now we have the law of the Spirit working in us. And it's that law of the Holy Spirit, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to think differently, that enables us to renew our mind. And that's the key for us to be able to really see the promise of God become real to you and I. You know, I think without a doubt, all of us before we got born again had very strong minds. You know, our reason, our arguments, they were the boss. They ruled in that over there. But that's been put to death. Now, the reality is we have the mind of Christ Jesus. And so it's learning now to receive. As the Spirit speaks, we receive. As we receive, we start to have our mind set on what the Spirit desires, which is the mind of Christ, the mind of our Heavenly Father. And there comes the promises. And that's how we start to walk in the fulfillment of the promises. So, guys, is our mind working with faith, or is our mind working against faith? Are our thoughts working with faith, or are our thoughts working against faith? And let's take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. The grace is there. The power of God is there to enable us to do that and to become free. I have found, as I shared, as I constantly, it's almost like a minute by minute kind of thing, eh? But it's a reality all day of just becoming conscious of my thoughts, taking them captive, walking with the Holy Spirit, renewing the mind, and experiencing with the Spirit of God as there's freedom. And that's where the peace of God and the freedom of God becomes our reality inside of our soul dimension. And that's the joy and that and living love. Amen. So as we have communion this morning, maybe a good time to just to say, I thank you that my old mind was crucified. My old mind was buried. And now I've been raised with Christ as a new creation that includes the mind. Thank you for the blood that's redeemed the mind. Thank you for the blood that has purchased and set my mind free. It used to be blinded by Satan, but now I can see the glory of God. I can know him. I can experience him. I can daily get to know him more and more intimately, firsthand experience how real God is and how good he is. So let's have communion together. So Father, first of all, thank you for the way you drew us to your Son Jesus by your Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning for the fact that you are teaching us on how to receive, to have our minds renewed, to be able to receive so our thoughts don't prevent us from receiving what you are sharing. And I'm asking now for tremendous grace as we just appropriate the fact that our old mind way of thinking, our minds that were blinded by Satan, is no longer our reality. Jesus, thank you. It was put on the cross with you. It was buried with you. But what a joy to know that we have been raised as a new creation, and the joy of being able to have your mind. Thank you for the helmet of salvation, and that we live in your mind. We live in the reality of you covering our thoughts and protecting us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, as you make us conscious throughout the day of our thoughts and what's happening with our thoughts. I thank you, Jesus, for your word that breaks down every stronghold and argument that comes up and all these things that come up into our mind. And I just ask now that by your Holy Spirit, with this, the sword of the Spirit, you will just demolish within our minds all those arguments, all those strongholds that reject your good news, that come against just freely receiving for what you have shared. And I thank you today for the work of you, of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you just use your sword profoundly and in the most beautiful way in just setting our minds free. And we thank you for that. So as we have communion with you, Lord Jesus, we want to celebrate your death and resurrection. We want to celebrate life in you. And we thank you for that. May we become conscious of you sharing by your Spirit to us, enabling us to once again hear and just receive and to be able to have that hope, that confidence, that assurance that what you have spoken, because we have received, we're able to walk in that truth. And we thank you for the fruitfulness after perseverance. There is always the hundredfold fruit. And we thank you for this. In your name we praise you. Amen. Amen.